2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For two chapters here, it's strange that this verse falls here, because for two chapters, including this chapter, Paul has been dwelling on the subject of giving, our monetary giving, our financial giving, is what he's been dwelling on for two whole chapters here. And it's the greatest portion of Scripture concerning the matter of giving. You will not find any greater portion of Scripture than these two chapters on the matter of giving. He deals with liberality of giving. He deals with the motive of giving, with the blessedness of giving, with the responsibility of giving, with the results of giving. Chapters that should be presented to us and chapters that we should be well acquainted with. Subject maybe I have not emphasized enough, but a subject that has been sometimes perverted by preachers who covet money. I think of some of the preachers that you see on TV. There are good preachers on TV. There are some that are not. Some like Benny Hinn, that's all he thinks about is money, with his great multi-million dollar mansions, three or four mansions in different parts of the world. And he does it on the monies of many times of widows and people who do not have that money to give to him, but somehow or other he's able to persuade them out of that money. And certainly people have what we call merchandise the gospel. They have used the gospel to merchandise it unto their own benefits, unto their own welfare, and unto their own for their prosperity. Now, it's not my aim to speak on the subject of giving today. I'm just taking the last verse that has to do with the subject of giving. Only it is not our giving, but it is God's giving. And it's God's gift to us. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, when Paul starts out on most any subject, like the subject of giving in chapter 9, he seems to always, whatever subject it may be, bring it around and ends up with, somehow or other, the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I saved and know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ, of course, was his major subject. And he majored on the person of Jesus Christ wherever he went. And even when he spoke of giving, he ends up those two chapters by saying, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. For his unspeakable gift. Now, notice that the last verse of chapter 9, of which we just repeated to you, and probably we'll be repeating it throughout our message, that this short verse covers that time that we know as Thanksgiving time that we just finished with. Still have some leftover turkey in the refrigerator. We just finished with Thanksgiving time, and we have now entered that time of we call Christmas time, when Jesus Christ came into this world, when Jesus Christ was incarnated, born in flesh, came into this world and dwelt among men and dwelt among us. But notice the first word of this verse, thanks, and the last couple words, his unspeakable gift. So we have the first word, thanks. We have the last word, gift. So we cover thanksgiving in our thanksgiving unto God, and we cover the word gift in the coming of Jesus Christ into this world at this time of the year that we know as Christmas time. Now, although some good men would apply this in other ways, this verse in some ways, I do not, along with others, see how this verse can be applied in any other way when it speaks of the unspeakable gift that you must and have to apply it to the person of Jesus Christ. He doesn't tell us what that unspeakable gift is. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You have to apply that to the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which most preachers do. Now think of this word unspeakable itself. And the way it applies to Christ, who is God's gift to you. Now, first of all, let's try to define or illustrate the word before applying it as far as our message is concerned. It literally means, as Dr. McLaren says, that which cannot be fully declared. Language fails because the very thought itself fails that God would become incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ coming into this world. Words fail to express the emotions of the heart. You cannot put into words the true emotions of the heart concerning the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that he would come into this world in the form of a man, that he would come into this world, that God would come into this world in the form of flesh, that he would humble himself to do such an act, to be manifest in the world through the person of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Thus it is with the gift of Christ to us by God that is really God's unspeakable gift to us. And it is unspeakable for many reasons. It's certainly unspeakable because of the very person that's being given. It's not just any person being given, but it's God's only begotten Son that's being given. Here is deity becoming a man, becoming human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's unspeakable that God should become a man in the person of Jesus Christ. How can you explain the heart of God giving his only begotten Son in all of his glory, in all of his purity, to a world that is in rebellion against him and that will crucify him? How can you explain that? How can you put that into words? How can you manifest that God would do such a thing for us? Yet he did do it. He did give his only begotten Son in all his glory, in all his purity, to a world and to men that are in rebellion against him. He came unto his own received him not. What a tragedy. He came unto his own received him not. Thus, to a sinful world of men, to a man that would spit upon him, to a man that would beat him, to a man that would crown him with thorns, a man who would crucify him. Try to explain the emotions of God in such a gift. Try to explain and put into words the love of God in such a gift. I believe it's unexplainable. I believe it cannot be put into the words to bring out the whole truth of what God has done for us in the giving of his only begotten Son. I can believe it because it's recorded for us in the Word of God. It's been communicated to us in the Word of God. I can believe it, but I truly cannot understand it all. It cannot be put into words. It's an unspeakable gift that was imparted to us, that words cannot bring out the whole truth of what happened when God gave his Son to us, what was taking place, as it were, in the very heart of God in giving up his son to sinners and to a world of sinners. It's unspeakable, yet it is true. The incarnation of Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born in a manger, born to die. The whole purpose of his being born in a manger was born, he was born to die on a cross to save you and to save me from all of our sins. It's an unspeakable gift. You put that into words if you can. And then think of how unspeakable the sufferings of Christ. How unspeakable the sufferings of Christ. Words seem to fail. But the gift in God, the gift of God involved an unspeakable sacrifice that was to be made on Calvary's cross by his son for sinners such as you and I are. When Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me repeat that again. I want you to get this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now you put in the words, the heart of God. And put in the words, the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, when those words were uttered on the cross. Can you even begin to put in the words what was taking place in the heart of God? And what was taking place in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ when he uttered those words on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's unspeakable. You cannot express the emotion of God's heart. You cannot express the emotion of the heart of Jesus Christ when he was hanging on that cross and expressed those words. We can't even begin to get into the heart of God. We can't even begin to get into the heart of Jesus Christ concerning what was taking place in the heart of God and in the heart of the Son of God when he cried out those words. Surely, surely, Jesus Christ is God's unspeakable gift to us. A gift that cannot fully, in all its mysteries, in all its comprehension, really be fully explained. So thanks be unto God. How much and how many times have we said thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift? Cannot comprehend fully the incarnation of Christ, and certainly cannot comprehend fully the sufferings of Christ and what took place in the person of the Father and the person of the Son. Yes, again, I can believe it. I can believe what was taking place between God and Jesus and all the emotions of it, but must remain with God and must remain with his only begotten God's Son concerning the fullness of the emotions and the feelings, we're using human words now, feelings of God concerning the sufferings of Christ. And then think of how unspeakable are the results of God's unspeakable gift. Think of the results. And think how unspeakable the results of God's unspeakable gift to you. The cleansing of all your sins. and the making you perfectly pure and holy in the eyes of God in order to make you acceptable to God. How unspeakable is that? The cleansing of all your sin, the making you perfectly pure and holy in the eyes of God in order to make you acceptable to God, justifying you as though you had never did anything wrong, or never did done anything wrong, never sinned. And except for the gift of God, certainly try to explain that. What words can we put that into? It's an unexplainable gift of God to you, that God would be so gracious to a sinful world and so gracious to sinful men. And think with that the gift of eternal life that has been given to you with God and with Jesus Christ, life forever. Explain that. Eternal life that God imparts to us. Another of God's unexplainable gifts that we should have spend eternity in the presence of God and the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ. Certainly, it is an unexplainable gift that God imparts to us. Human love gives itself to the object upon which its love is placed. The gift is unspeakable, for it comes from an unspeakable love. An unspeakable love is the cause of God giving us the gift of His Son, the expression of God's love to us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. Human love gives itself to the object upon which its love is placed. And you were the object of God's love. God placed His love upon you, and that's why He gave this unspeakable gift to you. It's a unexplainable love. God's love exceeds human love, and the human love finds something attractive in the object of His love. But God's love found nothing attractive in the object of His love. And that was us as sinners. There was nothing attractive about us before God that He should place His love upon us. But nevertheless, it is true that He did, to such an extent that He would give His unspeakable gift to us that we might have life through Him. The object of God's love was rather sinful and repulsive, yet God loved us and gave us that unspeakable gift. God's gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. God's gift is unspeakably free. And that's another amazement, and hard to put into words if it can be put into words. Nothing of us merited God sending His Son into the world, yet He did. That is why God giving Jesus to us is called a gift. It had to be a gift because we could not in any way whatsoever be deserving of that gift or earn that gift or work for that gift or do anything for that gift. You go up to somebody's door and you knock on the door and you have a gift in your hand and say, I want to give you this gift. And the way they get it is to reach out and take it. But who paid for it? Who gave the price for it? The person giving the gift. And so it is with God's unspeakable gift to us. Who paid the price for that gift? Even the Lord Jesus Christ. He sheds His blood on the cross of Calvary, that through the shedding of that blood, our sins may be covered, our sins may be washed away, our sins may be cleansed, and we would have eternal life. through him. God's unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. This is gift giving time at this season of the earth. We think of gifts for family and possibly even gifts for son, his friends, but not gifts for our enemies. God gives the gift of his son to us while we're yet at enmity with him, the Bible says. How can you explain that? We are still at enemies against him. And he gives that gift to us regardless. Thus, we think of the unspeakable results of God giving his son to us that we might have that eternal life that comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his son for us. However, our greatest thanks, and certainly we have cause to be thankful for many things in this world that God gives us day by day. We certainly should have a Thanksgiving, and we have just celebrated our national holiday of Thanksgiving. All the wonderful blessings God has bestowed upon us as a nation and as individuals, the earth with its fullness thereof, and so on. However, our greatest thanks is to be unto God for his unspeakable gift and what was brought to us with the giving of Christ. And with him, the Bible says, not only did he give us his son, the greatest of all gifts, but the Bible says with him he has given us all things. He has given us all things that pertain unto life. We have much more that is added to that unspeakable, the greatest of all gifts, but he gives us many, many gifts with that, because the Bible says, with him he has given us all things. And today we partake of that, which reminds us of that gift and the sacrifice that was made to give us all things that pertain unto life. We partake of this table with thanksgiving. And I trust that you will do so today. Father, bless your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 515 in the hymn books, please. Standing as we sing, as our men come forward.
Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, For I have received of the Lord Jesus that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup with himself, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord worthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many asleep. Let's bow our heads in a moment and start on prayer, please. Father, bless us now as we come to this table in remembrance of that sacrifice that was made for sinners, that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the death on the cross, we might have eternal life. And how we thank thee this day for that unspeakable gift that was sent into the world, that we may have forgiveness of sins and eternal life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We read where the Lord took the bread and break it and gave it unto his disciples, and they partook of the bread.
We can remember you today. We ask this name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus said unto his disciples on that memorial night, take eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Amen. After the same manner, he took the cup and gave it unto his disciples, and they partook of the cup. That was poured out on the cross, a life that was given, a life that was sacrificed, that through Christ bearing our sins in his body on the tree, our sins would be completely done away with. And how we thank you for that today. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Jesus said unto his disciples on that memorial night, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand up and we'll sing, there is a fountain.
At least there is a fountain filled with blood. Yes, number 175 in closing. A fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain, lose all their guilty stain. bears all their guilty stain, and sinners may be deep that blood. We'll sing the third as the last. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God be saved. Let us close in prayer. If you have not received Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right or the authority to become a child of God. And we trust that if you have not, you will. Let us close in prayer. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said,